take shelter, a dwelling place. The imagery is beautiful. Or what about Jesus in Luke chapter 15, where he paints God as a loving father who is willing to welcome home his rebellious son, who is willing to forgive this son that had sinned against him. And as my mind engages in Luke 15, I just love the imagery of the father giving his son, disheveled, dirty, dragging home, giving him this big bear hug. Welcome home, son. Welcome home. Yes, the metaphors of the Bible are incredible, so encouraging. But not all of them are comforting and full of encouragement. Probably one of the more disturbing pictures the Bible uses to help us understand what it's like for us here now as followers of Jesus is warfare. Yes, you and I, as human beings, yes, you and I, as followers of Jesus, are caught up in a spiritual war. Now, I've never actually experienced war firsthand. My grandfather and father fought in wars, and I've heard their stories. I've read a lot of history. I really enjoy history, and I've read a lot of history about World War I and World War II and other wars, and I'm sure I've seen far too many movies. But none of that, though, prepared me for the Holocaust Museum I visited in Nanjing. I've got to say, that was one of the most disturbing experiences of my life. But having said that, I'm glad I went, because it reinforced to me that war is horrible. War is horrible. And for me, I recoil at the thought. If you're sitting here this morning saying, "Give me a war," I want to say to you, you're weird. You are not normal. Because I'd suggest to you, anyone who finds themselves in a war finds themselves there not by choice, but by default. I wasn't looking for it. It happened. For me, give me peace anytime, and I'm sure I'm not alone. But despite our natural dislike for war and conflict, the Bible is pretty explicit. Whether we like it or not, we are involved in a spiritual war. I mean, take Ephesians chapter 6, for example. Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you, after you have done everything, to stand." See the imagery? It's this explicit picture. We are, as followers of Jesus, engaged in a spiritual war. What is happening in the world is not just happening because one person woke up one morning and said, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." The evil that exists in the world because there are spiritual forces at work behind it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." See the imagery. A prowling lion, a predator, a hunting animal. That's the image. And he's there walking around and he's looking for someone to devour. Well, over the next few weeks, we want to explore the theme of spiritual warfare and of what it looks like and how to face it. Now, I've been around as a Christian for a while, and I've been exposed to a whole range of stuff, and I've had a whole range of different experiences. And I just want to begin this whole journey by saying a lot of what's going on out there is rubbish. Now, you might think that's arrogant, but as I think about all that's going on out there as far as teaching and the preoccupation the church has with spiritual warfare, go to Coorong and look at the books on the shelf. And everyone said, oh, this is it. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. And man, I've been there. I have been in there, boots and all. As a young Christian, one of the earliest books I read was a book called Pigs in the Parlor. Now, if you've been around for a while, you will know about this book. Parlor is the lounge room. And the book, the premise of the book was that we allow demons into our very core of our being, and that behind every sin is a pig, a demon. And behind every rock is a demon. And behind everything that happens is a demon. And the end result was, as a Christian, I was in absolute fear. I lived my whole life gripped in fear because I'm in this spiritual warfare, and guess what? These demons are scary. They're everywhere and they're really scary. And you never say it, but the thought is there in the way we think and what we practice, they're actually more powerful than Jesus. That's the subtle lie that we buy into. And then at the other extreme, of course, there are those who actually don't believe that the devil is real. It's just psychology and stuff like that. And the devil and the demons, that's not reality. So here it is. We've experienced, and I'm sure you've been exposed to all this stuff. So what we need desperately to do is, if we're going to have a conversation about spiritual warfare, we need to build our understanding on the Word of God. Because at its core, spiritual warfare is all about truth and lies. Truth and lies. And we need to build our lives on the revealed truth, the revelation of God. So that's what we want to do. But as we begin this journey, it's really important that we begin at the right place. And the right place to begin any discussion about spiritual warfare is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus' name is above every name in heaven and on earth. He alone is God. There is no other. He defeated the works of the devil once and for all. Unless we begin in this solid place, we'll flip and we will flop. We will be blown over here. We'll be blown over there. No, this is our solid starting ground. And we need to know that. We want to start this journey not in a place of fear, but in a place that's as solid, as solid, as solid. We can stand on this truth. Jesus is Lord. See, in this battle, he has already won. This is not a battle we have to win. And much of the teaching that exists out there gives you the impression that we have to go out there and do the fighting. But the truth of God's word is Jesus has already done the fighting. He's already done it. So if the teaching or the book or the tape or the preacher that you're listening to is calling you to some way have to somehow defeat the works of the devil, you need to understand they're not starting from a solid rock place. Jesus is Lord. No, this is not a battle we have to win. Jesus has already done it. Yes, let's be clear, as we've read already in Ephesians and Peter, there is an enemy, and yes, there is opposition. But the key to facing this is in knowing the truth that Jesus is Lord and to trust in Him. So all I want to do this morning for the rest of our time together is just look at some scriptures together and to remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus has defeated the devil. So if you have your Bibles and you might like to write these down and mark them and refer to them in the weeks ahead. But let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start there. So verse 10. And the Apostle Paul is writing to a bunch of Christians. A bunch of Christians like you and I. And verse 10, notice his focus, right? Notice the emphasis. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So it's not about yours and my mighty power. It's not about my strength. It's about His strength, His mighty power. It's about who He is. It's about what He has done. I am weak, but He is strong. That's the point. It's all about being in Him. And as this portion of Scripture unfolds, the focus it begins in verse 11, is God's provision. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then later in verse 13, therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, is there any uncertainty in that? I mean, is there any ambiguity there that you may not be able to stand? Let me read it again, verse 13. Put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after have done everything, to stand. Now, there's equally no ambiguity about the fact that the day of evil will come. We live in evil days. We are caught up in a spiritual warfare. But God has made provision for us. And as you unpack, which we will do in subsequent weeks, the armour that the Apostle Paul is talking about. No, he's not talking about a physical war. He's talking about a spiritual war. And the armour is, in essence, all that God has done in Christ on the cross. The armour is putting on the gospel, is taking to ourselves the truth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is Lord of heaven and earth. His name is above all name. His power is above all powers. That's what's embedded in this expression, Jesus is Lord. And in essence, Paul is saying to put on the full armour of God is to take to yourself Jesus is Lord. Because as you unpack it, all that he's talking about is the truth of the gospel of what God has done in Christ at the cross. A good book to read in reference to spiritual warfare is 1 John. And John is totally preoccupied with truth and the victory of God. And it's quite interesting. But notice, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now, the devil's work is to oppose God. That's his mission. That's why he exists. He wants to be God. He's against God. He wants the worship that belongs to God. He wants the power and control that is only God's. He is a usurper. He is someone who is not the rightful heir or king, but he portrays himself to be the rightful king and ruler. And Jesus came into the world to destroy his works. Could anything be clearer? Do we actually believe that? Yes, we see his influence in the world today, and we'll talk about how that is so in weeks to come. But we need to understand when Jesus died and rose again, he smashed the devil. He smashed him. He defeated him. And so when we walk into the world and say, oh, the devil, I'm afraid, we are not being Christian. We're not putting on the full armor of God. We're saying, no, the Bible's not true. We don't believe it. He's a liar. He's a liar. Jesus has destroyed the devil's work. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Do you want me to read it again? We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. The devil is not the true God. Yes, the world is following him. Yes, the world is under his control. But he doesn't control us. Not because we're strong. No, but because Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. And Jesus rescued us, and we are walking in the light. We're not children of the devil, we're children of God. The Bible is so clear here. We're born of God. We're children of God. And the evil one cannot harm us. Hear this. The evil one cannot harm us. Yes, there's a battle, but the evil one cannot harm us. Revelation chapter 12. Now, of course, when we come near Revelation, we need to appreciate it's an apocalyptic, prophetic literature, and is full of imagery and flips and goes here and goes there, and we need to be wise and cautious how we approach the book. But nevertheless, the theme of the book is absolutely clear. We are engaged in a spiritual war, and guess what? We know the end. The end is clear. Jesus is Lord, and he has defeated the works of the devil, and indeed in eternity he will totally nullify the works of the devil. The picture is clear. Don't get caught up in what you don't understand about Revelation. Get excited about what's clear in Revelation. And it can't be clearer. Revelation chapter 12. Have I flicked that over? No. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers, the devil, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down." Now we'll come back to this, but the imagery is referring back to what we see in the oldest book in the Bible, to Job, when the sons of God, the angels, came into the presence of God and the devil came among them, and the devil accused Job before God. He says, "What about Job? You think he's pretty good. You think he loves you, but let me put some pressure on this guy. He'll abandon you. He's an accuser of the brethren. He accuses us, and we hear his whispers all the time, telling lies, 'You're this, you're this.' Oh, no, no, no. Right now, you're hearing it. He's saying, 'That's not true. I'm really powerful. You need to be frightened of me. You're not really a good enough Christian. I've got you.'" That's accusation, lies. Yes, that's what he does. But listen to verse 11. The accuser comes. They triumphed him by over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now we need to understand the context of this is the persecution of the church and Christians being killed by the Roman Empire because they said they weren't willing to say Caesar is Lord because they proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. So here it is. How did these people triumph over the devil? One, by the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus accomplished at the cross. When John wrote, Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus died on the cross, rose again and ascended to heaven and sat down, and he was declared Lord. His name is above all names. He's Lord of Lords in heaven and earth. He destroyed the devil's works. That's the point that the Revelation is making here. That is through the blood of the Lamb. It's not because I'm a strong Christian. It's not because I'm a good person. It's because Jesus died on the cross. We are engaged in a battle that has already been fought and won. And then it goes on. And by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Now, what is the word of their testimony? I believe Jesus is Lord. It's the truth I cling to. What do I believe is true? Do I believe that the devil is running around and is going to get me and going to get the world and is going to do this? Well, yep, he's in the world and a lot of people are happy to have him in the world and he's controlling the world, he's at work in the world, but Jesus is Lord. And that's the truth. And my testimony is, I do not care who you are, devil. I do not care what you're doing in the world. I do not care what you claim. You need to know Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And the truth of God's word tells me you cannot harm me. You cannot harm me. And for these guys, they were saying that, kill me. You need to know you cannot harm me, even if you kill me. I will follow you. I will follow you. There's a lovely picture of this truth that we're just trying to build brick upon brick in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it's the account of Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah. And the nation of Judah is totally surrounded and is about to get invaded by this huge army, and they are They're outnumbered. They're freaked out. They think, man, we will never win this battle. We are going to be destroyed because the armies that are coming against us are more powerful than us. And then God raises up the prophet, and the prophet comes to King Jehoshaphat and he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We need to hear this word. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord will be with you. And so they go out to face this huge army that's coming against them. You should read it for yourself. 2 Chronicles 20. And Jehoshaphat turns to the people and he says, have faith in God. That's the heart of the matter. It's back to this, the word of their testimony. God, I believe the truth of your word. I choose to have faith in you and the revelation that you have given us of yourself and of what you have done on the cross. I choose to believe that. Have faith in God. And this is the great part about it. So what Jehoshaphat did then was he got the band, the worship team, and he put them in the front of the army. How cool is that? They're going to kill Kenneth before they kill me. They're out the front. And he puts them out the front and he says, let's start worshiping God. You see, it wasn't because they were singing. It wasn't that. It was what they're declaring. See, in that act of coming and worshiping, they were saying, God, we believe you. Right now, this might look crazy because we're outnumbered. We're about to get wiped out. These guys are strong, but we are choosing to believe what you have said. And you said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Trust you. And so, Lord, we're just going to praise you and declare God is great. God is powerful. God is able to defend us. Come what may, even if we get killed here right now, we're going to worship you, Lord, because Jesus is Lord. It's a declaration of confidence in who God is. So yes, we are going to talk about spiritual warfare. And yes, it will be challenging and it will be confronting. But we're not going to talk about it from a place of fear. We're going to talk about it from a place of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to that end, I want us to read scripture together. I'd like us to read two verses from Psalm 61. Why don't you just read it quietly to yourself now? Is that what I've got on the side? Yep. 62, sorry. Thank you. So just read it to yourself. See how in the light of all that God has done in Christ, right? These scriptures that we were reading earlier, how this can be true. How we can declare that. How that is can be the word of our testimony. Let's stand together and read it out loud. You ready? Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Ladies, why don't you read it for us? Bless the men. Men, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken. Amen. Father, we do worship you this morning. We stand before you declaring we believe you. We thank you for your word to us, not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, but to trust in you. And we thank you, Lord, for the revelation that you have given us that Jesus is Lord. That you, Lord Jesus Christ, willingly came to the cross, died on the cross, shed your blood, rose again, and are risen today, and you did it all to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. And yes, indeed, Father, we acknowledge that the devil prowls around to this day. We acknowledge that sitting behind so much of what we see going on in the world is spiritual forces and powers. And so, Lord, I pray that in these days, you by your Spirit would teach us the truth of your word and how to live in the reality of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, give us a revelation of you, Jesus, in power, glory, and majesty, with your feet on the serpent's head, squashed flat, oozing out, powerless. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, all of us know the reality of spiritual warfare, whether it be the confrontation with demonized people, sin in our own life, struggling with teaching and wondering if it's true, and a myriad of different ways. And so I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. Strengthen us. Oh, Lord, burn the truth of Psalm 61 into our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your clear proclamation. The truth shall set you free. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.